have been wondering whether Jesus had mother-in-law jokes. He's turning mother-in-law against father-in-law, this and that. And honestly, it's a description of almost everybody's family. Have you got that one person in your family? Or you know which to have what conversation with who? Oh, my goodness. But honestly, reading our Bibles today, it feels like we've got a Bible in one hand and the news in another. I might have said a newspaper in the other, but most people are reading the news on their tablets. Sometimes there's such a match, and that seems to be so in today's reading. It's a great place to pray. Some people here, you will have a call towards prayer and intercession and praying for people. You'll know that if you want to collect things to pray for. But for all of us, to have the news and to have our Bibles and to use those two as prayer. Isaiah's vineyard song could be sung over Israel and Gaza today, if you've seen this going on and on from one terrible thing to another, over war-torn places in the earth. God looks for justice, for righteousness, for right living, for doing the right thing. And the thing is that God has hardwired into us, as his creation, a longing for that peaceable kingdom, that vision in the end times, no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. No more night, says the writer in the last chapters of the Bible. And that's what we long after, and therefore it troubles us when we see things as they are. But we also can be encouraged, because here we are in Scripture, in the words and teaching of Jesus, saying, here's how it is. In our Holy Communion, later in the service, we will say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. And we are the people of the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God. That's hardwired into us, because all that we long for God's kingdom to come, we long because we know what it means. We find it in Scripture, we find it in our hearts and minds. But we're very much living in a world, in neighbourhoods, in news, where that kingdom is not yet. Many people, in popular opinion, have all sorts of claims and ideas about who Jesus is and what he said. But fewer, I find, have actually read consistently Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as to what Jesus actually said. And here's we got some challenging words of things that he said. It's so good to understand the world and Scripture as a whole, to start with the Gospels, in the light of the Gospels, to then look at the rest of the New Testament. In the light of the New Testament as believers, to look at the Old Testament. And in that order, it falls into making sense. It's great to have in our walk with God, at the heart of our faith, individually and corporately, knowing Jesus, reminding ourselves of his words, especially when, as his followers, we face tough times. Another little picture Jesus said was of two roads. There's the wide road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. And there's a narrow road that leads to life, and few that find it. And when I see that picture, I kind of see those roads diverging. And often we find in liberal Western world now that the road, the narrow road of a disciple of Christ, is departing. It's pulling away from assumptions in our world. And how do we reset our minds from these words of Jesus? Jesus warns us as well as encourages us. They're both there. And it makes me think, how shall we live and think as Christian believers in London today? I think we can be encouraged by the faith of those who inspire us, the faith of those we know have gone before us, as fellow believers, as family members, as people of great people of faith. It's great to read biographies of Christians from long ago and near. And our reading in Hebrews, thank you, says, as we look at great saints of the past, either there was tremendous victory, we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 33, whose faith they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned for strength, who became powerful in battle. Oh, we say, yes, 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 yes. How inspiring to hear. But also, their faith for others, it's almost like here's two sides of life walking with God. For others, there was suffering. Hebrews 11, verse 36. Some faced jeers and flogging. I'd be amazed if you hadn't been jeered for your Christian faith, but be encouraged. Here it is. That is the norm. The great secret is not to jeer back, but that's another matter. They faced flogging, chains, imprisonment, put to death by stoning, sawn in two, killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, ill-treated. I love the little follow-on to that. It said, of whom the world was not worthy. But when we reflect on all this, God comes to us today in our various circumstances and he looks for fruit. He looks for fruit. And there's this picture of, we're God's grapevine. Jesus said that, I'm the vine. And here it was. Jesus will have read Isaiah. You're listening to someone who's grown grapes for more than 30 years. So I know my grapes at the moment. I've got some lovely Regent black grapes in my back garden with all this sunshine. They are just gorgeous. On my allotment, I've got a whole row of Chardonnay grapes growing, so I'm hoping to turn those into some Chateau Northfields later in the year. But what I need to look at my vine, I need to care for it. My vines, they grow like mad, and my secateurs are what I want. I'm looking for grapes. And the grapevine grows off here, and then it wants to go next door, and then another one goes down there. Off they all come, and I have stacks of grapevine, you know, couple of meters long, and they all go on the compost heap. And then a little bit later, a few months ago, there were bunches of grapes. Oh, yes, grapes, that's what we want. One bunch of grape per branch, Mr. Vine. On the compost heap go the grapes, because that vine is too ambitious for what it has. So many lessons to learn. You can invent all those for yourself. I get a much better crop if I mulch it, and if I feed it, and if I compost it, and I water it. But honestly, if at the end of all that, my miserable grapevine then sort of says, oh, I'm just going to sit here and shrivel. I've done nothing wrong. I've done all the right things. And it's a harsh picture that Isaiah brings. It's like God comes to his church and he looks for fruit in our lives. And sometimes we get his secateurs in our life. And Lord, why have you done that? Why has that happened? Sometimes I think the story in my life has been loss after loss after loss. And I don't think God always sends those, but he uses them because if I've lost stuff, there's more room for him in my life. It makes more space, but it's a harsh lesson of the secateurs. He's looking for fruit. He's looking for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we know, in our lives. Lives bearing the likeness of Jesus. Lord, make me more like Jesus. Be careful what you pray, because God usually makes a note of it and listens to it. And sometimes we're going through tough times because we've asked God to make us more like Jesus, and you know, he maybe comes along with some secateurs in our life to refine us. He's looking for the fruit of lives of worship, of attending. I often think attend and obey. Listen to God and do what he says. A fruitful life. Following Christ, when we follow the men and women of faith who've gone before us in the way of the cross that leads to glory. I'm just going to finish with some words from Peter, who walked closely with Jesus and heard all this teaching. And there's a little section in 1 Peter 4 about suffering for being a Christian. Peter writes this: "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name." Lord, we want to give to you our lives. Lord, we love the sunshine, but we know that our lives sometimes go through tough times, times of loss and darkness. Lord, thank you that in your word, you've spoken, you've gone before us. The psalmist says, our times are in God's hands. Lord, we put our lives into your hands and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.